Today we are talking about Jesus, of course, and Jesus had a message for this fallen world. And what was that message? We find that in my Bible, I've got an NIV translation, but I'm reading the King James today, probably. But in my NIV, there's a little, you know how it has a little headings on each of the verses. My Bible says this: Jesus comes to Capernaum and begins his public ministry. So Jesus is now coming into Capernaum after his baptism. He's beginning to start his public ministry. And what was it that he preached, and what was it that he proclaimed? Let's look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. It says this: from that time of the start of his public ministry, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You know, I've studied the Bible quite a bit, and I found that Jesus never taught any other message than the kingdom. He said the kingdom of God is like this, it's like that, so on and so forth. And everything he said and did demonstrated this message of the kingdom that he was sent to preach and to proclaim. We're going to see also that he commissioned 12 to follow him. He said, "Come follow me, listen to what I say, listen to what I preach, and then see what I do." He healed the sick, he cast out demons, and he preached the gospel of the kingdom and people to repent, for the kingdom of God has now arrived. And it is so consistent through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then it goes right into the book of Acts, and really all the way through the New Testament. Really, this teaching of the kingdom is really something that began in the Old Testament. And it gives the theme all the way from the old into the new. And it makes our Bible one unit and in unity. Let's look at it for just a moment from the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, in Isaiah was writing 700 years before Christ. Think about it. 700 years before Christ, God, through the prophet Isaiah, gave prophecy to the nation of Israel. And he said, this is what's going to happen. And I'm going to read it here. Isaiah 9:6. "For unto us a child is born." Israel, listen. A child is going to be born in Israel. A son is going to be given into that nation. And a government will be upon his shoulders. He's going to have a government. He's going to be a king. And he'll have a domain in which he will rule. He'll have a government. And he will be called, divine titles will be given to him. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. He is going to come from the lineage of David, and he's going to sit upon the throne of David, and he's going to be the Christos, the Anointed One, the Anointed King. Saul was the first Christos. And David said of Saul, when Saul went, departed from the Lord, you know, they said, "David, you're going to be the king. You should kill Saul." And what did he say? "I will not touch God's Christos. I will not touch God's anointed." And so the second Christos then would be David, a man after God's own heart. And God gave a promise to David that upon his throne would be a king that's going to come, not like any other king. He is going to have divinity. He's going to be Wonderful Counselor. He's going to be Mighty God. He's going to be Everlasting Father. He's going to be Prince of Peace. And right here in Isaiah, 700 years before he appeared, it said, "The increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will have an everlasting kingdom that will not end. He will reign on David's throne, it says in Isaiah, over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. The book of Hebrews tells us that the scepter that Christ will use will be a scepter of righteousness. He loves righteousness. He hates iniquity. He will establish his kingdom in fairness and justice and righteousness from that time and forever. It will be an everlasting kingdom. It will not be a 1,000-year reign. It will be an everlasting kingdom that will have no end. And the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. That's what Israel was promised, and that's what Israel was looking for. If we turn back in our Old Testament on Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it says this. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Are you looking, Israel, for this sign? This is what's going to happen. The virgin will be with child. A virgin will be with child that had never known a man and will give birth to a son. Spoken 700 years before it actually happened. And he will be called Emmanuel. You know what Emmanuel means? God with us. God manifest in the flesh. That was the promise of the Messiah coming. And then at the end of the Old Testament, there was 400 years of silence. But they pondered these prophecies in their heart. And everybody in Israel knew these prophecies. And when John the Baptist came upon the scene, they said, are you the one? Are you the one that we're looking for? Or do we look for someone else? And John said, it's not me, but the one is coming. I'm not even worthy to come down and even untie his shoe. Amazing. Jesus then showed up on the scene. John the Baptist's ministry lasted for 6 months. He was executed and beheaded. And Jesus went into the waters of baptism. And then he began his public ministry from Capernaum. And then his preaching was this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's arrived. It's here. You're at the threshold of it. You know why? Because the king has come. Now, in order to understand the gospel clearly, you must understand the preaching of the kingdom, and you must understand that there is another kingdom. The Apostle Paul talks about it many times. We read about it many times. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God, the little G-O-D of this world, has blinded people's mind. He has taken authority over man through man's rebellion and man's sin, and people have come under the domain and the dominion of Satan. And Jesus arrived on the scene and says, I have come to destroy the works of the devil. And his signs and his wonders and his miracles that he did, that the 12 did, that the 70 did, and that the followers of Christ do to proclaim his person, that the king has arrived, is actually an attack on Satan's domain, the fallenness of this world. The kingdom is going to come in two forms. It's going to come like a little mustard seed, insignificant. You can't even see it. And then one day it will manifest to a large tree in which birds can live in. It will be so great. It'll overcome all the governments of the world. When Christ returns, he will establish it, and it will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. But right now, we're in the enemy's territory. And our commission in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the gospel is a kingdom, is to bring people out of that domain and that reign of Satan over to the reign of God. See, kingdom is derived of two words, Kingdom. There's a king and there's a dom, that is a domain in which the king rules. But in order for you to come out of Satan's domain, you've given your authority to him through your sin. But the only way to come under God's domain is to repent, Jesus said. Repent. Turn from your sin. Turn from Satan. Turn from darkness. Paul said it in Acts 26:18. Your commission, Jesus told Paul, was to open people's eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, to turn them from the authority of Satan to the authority of God so that they can receive the forgiveness of their sins. And Jesus went to the cross to secure that forgiveness and to secure those ones that have repented and turned to him, complete dominion and ownership of those individuals, because he went to a cross, not just to die for your sins, but to purchase you. So glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belongs to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it was purchased at the cross. Romans 14 says that's why Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, so he might secure his lordship over the individuals that will repent and turn to him. And Jesus sent them out. They proclaimed this message of the kingdom, the gospel kingdom. And then they healed the sick and they cast out demons. They began to overthrow Satan's kingdom in this fallen world and say, you don't have to be under the domain of the wicked one. And Jesus said it in the parables in Matthew 13, that in this fallen world right now, there's two kinds of individuals. Those that have repented and turned and come under the authority of God, they're the children of the kingdom in this fallen world. And then there are the children of the wicked one, the children of the devil that has tricked and deceived mankind, and they've come under his authority through sin, but they failed to repent and turn to God. So there's two kinds of people in this world, the children of God and the children of the evil one, the devil. And at the end of time, the book of Hebrews says, Jesus will come from heaven again. He will come to this earth. And there will be a separation. And he will receive his own. And the children of the wicked one will perish. He will take out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and they will be cast into outer darkness. And then God's manifested kingdom in a new paradise, a new heaven, and a new earth will start unfolding as we spend our eternity with the Lord. And so this is the message. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, it says it this way, and Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues. What's that mean? He taught in their churches. What did he teach? Preaching the gospel, the good news of God's kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. He was overthrowing the authority of Satan and the wicked one. And he was going to secure that dominion over all this earth through going to the cross, because there he even spoiled the principalities and powers and made a show of them openly triumphing over in the cross. For this reason, Jesus was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Now look at Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and every village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. He chose 12 after all night of prayer. He said, follow me. Listen to what I say. See what I'm preaching and do what I do. And they followed him. They laid down their lives. They were disciples. They were apprentices. They were, like we'd say, going to a training school. It wasn't just information. It was demonstration, because when Jesus at a certain time said, it's your turn, he gave them authority. They preached the kingdom of God. They preached that men should repent. And they cast out devils and they healed sicknesses. And it's going on today as God is calling people out of the domain and rulership of the evil one. It's going on today. We still have the commission, but Satan has deceived the church so that the church is powerless. And the kingdom of God has come just in words. But the Bible says the kingdom of God is never just to come in words, but in demonstration and power. Here is such a powerful verse. Luke chapter 4 and verse 43 says this, "And he said to them," to his disciples, Jesus said this, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities, not only the city that I'm in right now, but to other cities also. For therefore am I sent." Did you see that? Jesus said, "I must go to other cities and tell them and proclaim them the good news. Accept the rule and reign of God. Come out from the authority of the wicked one. Receive the forgiveness of your sins. Come under the domain of the new king of Jesus, the Messiah, the king that was promised in Isaiah." Because it's going to be a spiritual renewal, not just a physical thing. Your heart has to be prepared to accept this rule through repentance of your sins and turning to the king to come under a new authority, accepting a new reign, a new rule. Now, that's why the Bible says things like, "Without holiness, no man will see the Lord," and those kind of scriptures that some people have a hard time with. What's that saying? Your heart has to be changed to accept the reign, to accept the rule of the King, King Jesus. So he says this in closing today. Luke 4:43, he said, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities, for therefore am I sent." And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Such a powerful statement. Therefore am I sent. Jesus said, "That is why I have come." We need to again examine the gospel that we are preaching. And again, call people to respond as Jesus did. For I'm afraid the enemy has deceived many, many of our churches, because they're not being told. They need to come under the authority and rule of the King. That's called Jesus being Lord. That's called confessing Jesus as Lord. God bless you as you consider these words of Jesus.